In the past few months, we have been considering the early chapters of Genesis. But today, I would like for us to begin considering the gospel according to Mark. God willing, we will be able to return to Genesis a little later in the year. I find that the Bible really is a wonderful, wonderful book. The way in which the Word of God speaks into our lives is a remarkable thing. The Word of God is something that should never be ignored or left on a shelf to gather dust. Sadly, generally speaking, society today have begun to do just that. The Bible seems to have no more place in the homes and lives of our postmodern society. The influence of the Bible in our society has seriously diminished. I assume most of you have been to St. Fagan's before, and I always remember the first time I visited St. Fagan's. It's one of my favorite museums. It's a live museum set up like an old Welsh village with houses and buildings representing the different eras of the Welsh life. Well, going there, the first time I went, it's a bit different since I've been that first time, but going there into all the old houses which they had reconstructed on the site, it amazed me to see that almost all the houses in the past had a Bible out in the open. It would be maybe on the dining room table or on a table in the living room. And the Bible had a special place in the home, a place of its own. It wasn't mixed with all the other books. Well, that was the case once. It's a different story today. It saddens me when I enter homes today and the Bible is nowhere to be seen. I understand that there's now the option of having a Bible on your phone. And there's less of a need for a physical Bible. But I guess what saddens me is that the Bible seems to have lost its importance in our lives and homes. The Word of God seems to have lost its special place and its authority in our lives. It has become just one of the many books in our bookshelves, one of the many apps on our phones. And I wonder, what place does the Bible, the Word of God, have in your life? More than ever, I believe that there's such a great need for Christians today to lift their voices and lovingly declare the Word of God. You see, the Bible teaches us that faith comes by the hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. This is the importance of the Word of God. There can be no faith apart from the Word of God. And so, how can today's society that has pushed the Bible to the side come to know God if the Word of God has no place in their lives? How can they come to know the Lord Jesus Christ if the gospel, the good news of salvation, is not being heard by the majority of our secular society? This ought to be our desire as Christians, that until the Lord Jesus returns, we ought to desire that every eye will see and every ear will hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so with that in mind, I believe the gospel according to Mark is a great place to start. Because the purpose of this book is exactly that. It is to declare the gospel, the good news of Jesus. It makes the Lord Jesus known. It reveals why Jesus, the Son of God, came to this earth. And it shows us what it means to follow Jesus Christ. This morning, as an introduction to the gospel according to Mark, we won't go much further than the first verse. You see, before we consider this gospel account, I think it is important that we ask the question, what is the relevance of the gospel for us today? Why is the gospel still relevant? Why should we continue to live it? Why should we continue to preach it? Why should we continue to direct people to it? Why should we continue to come back to it again and again and again? Verse 1 reads, "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God." What is the first thing we can notice by Mark's first words in this gospel account? There's no introduction. There's no scene setting. He goes straight into it. There's a fierce confidence. The beginning of the gospel. Mark has utter confidence in the gospel he's about to write about. It makes it seem that what we are about to read is not just the most important thing to Mark, but it is the most important thing that anyone could hear and know about. The gospel of Jesus Christ. The way Mark begins this gospel makes it seem that this is a message that is burning within him. And he has to share it. There's a truth he was consumed by, that he had to communicate it. But was Mark's confidence in the gospel unique to him? I don't think so. You just have to read the other authors in the New Testament. And you will clearly see that the gospel of Jesus was central to everything they had to say and everything they had to write about. Consider the Apostle John. If you read John in chapter 20, he says why he wrote that gospel. And this is what he says: "These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." Believe in what? The gospel. This was not a small thing for John to say. He's saying the gospel of Jesus is the source of life to all who believe. Consider the Apostle Paul. He said in Romans chapter 1, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes." Paul went as far as to say that he was a debtor to all men to preach the gospel. To converted and unconverted, he was not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel of Jesus was so compelling to these men of the first century that they lived and died proclaiming it. But it wasn't just the apostles that were captivated by the gospel. In Acts chapter 8, we are told that due to persecution, the early church in Jerusalem was scattered. And what did those who were scattered do? Did they hide because of possible persecution? Did they keep their mouth shut? No. In Acts chapter 8, it says that those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word, spreading it, gossiping the gospel. And ever since then, the church has continued to proclaim this gospel. Come what may, the gospel is the power of God to salvation to all who believe it. They could not keep silent. The world must hear this good news of Jesus Christ. They were excited about it. Everyone must hear it. This was the importance of the gospel of Jesus. So Mark begins his account with conviction. What a way to start. The urgency and the assurance in which he writes this gospel account. You see, what Mark was writing about was the most amazing and glorious truth known to man. He was not ashamed of what he had to say. He was not ashamed of whom he was writing about. Now, some today may say, great for Mark and for those first century people. They lived in such a difficult time that any form of good news would be compelling to them. This gospel, this good news of so-called life and peace was relevant to their situation. People in the past needed something to hope for and something from outside their broken world to turn to and to trust in. Unfortunately, people today would say that this so-called gospel has no relevance to our current situation. We don't need it. It has gone way past its sell-by date. Life is different today. People are living a healthier life and for longer. They say society has progressed morally and ethically. Who needs religion? Science is no longer just theories. It's based on observable facts. They say we know so much more now, that we are far more intelligent than our religious and superstitious ancestors. They say, let's pity them. They didn't know better. There is this idea that if the Bible was written today, you would have to be mad and crazy to believe it. In fact, they would say that Mark and the apostles would all need psychiatric attention. So, is there credit to what our society is saying today about the gospel of Jesus? Is the gospel no longer relevant? Has it gone past its sell-by date? Let's ask the question, is the gospel of Jesus Christ relevant today? The world is certainly dismissive of it. They don't want it. They would rather invest their time listening to something else, anything else than the word that God has to say to us. Consider the workplace. How much of the conversation is Bible-related or gospel-related? Consider our neighbors. Have they an idea what we're doing here this morning? Consider some of our family members. How do they react when we bring Jesus into our conversations? Well, if people on the whole would prefer that the gospel wasn't mentioned, should Christians still propagate it? Should people still be listening to the gospel? Should we still be preaching it? Should Christians today have the same confidence with the gospel and the same vigor towards it, towards the spreading of the gospel as the early church did? See, I believe that if Mark and the apostles lived on this past 2,000 years and they were with us today, they would still be making the gospel public with unfaltering confidence. They would not stop preaching the gospel. The reason for that is that the gospel to them was not a fix for that difficult situation. It was not activism against their Roman overlords. The gospel to them was life in Jesus Christ. For that is what the gospel is. It is life to them who believe. The gospel speaks into the very condition of every generation since the fall of Adam. No more modern ideology, no modern philosophy, no modern science speaks into our very need and our eternal internal condition as the gospel does. The beginning of the gospel. It is good news. There is something in the gospel that is so necessary to our inherent condition that it is good news to all men. You see, the gospel is not a speculation of truth. It is not a theory or an idea regarding life. It is not a point of view or an interest that people can take up like a hobby. It is not something that you only take up because of interest or its enjoyment value. It's not even something we turn to based on our emotional disposition. The gospel is not something related to time where it is only beneficial to certain moments in our lives. The gospel is not something that we only turn to meet our temporal and material needs. The gospel is not something political. There are many people speaking today, hoping that many would listen to them. There are politicians and activists offering solutions to our temporal and material needs. They preach about education and the National Health Service and the environment. And they say we should listen to them because they have the key to meet our current needs. But that is not what the preacher of the gospel is doing. This is not what the gospel is offering. Yes, we want you to listen to the gospel. But the gospel is not in competition to what these politicians and activists are offering. The reasons to listen to the gospel is more profound and more urgent, and it's extremely important. It deals with nothing and no one else in this world can deal with. Some may say, but this gospel is not for me. I'm a realist and up to date. I'll listen to politicians and activists because their actions will affect my status in life. It will affect my current need. I would rather listen to something that has more value to me. But I tell you, nothing is as precious to humanity as the gospel is. There's nothing that humanity needs more than the gospel. The gospel deals with something much deeper. It deals with the matter of life itself. In fact, to listen or not to listen to the gospel is a matter of life and death. The beginning of the gospel, it is profound and vitally important. So why is the gospel relevant? Because it deals with life itself. To listen to the gospel is to choose life. It is good to have a home and to look after it. It is good to have a family and take care of them. It is good to have a job and to do it well. It is good to exercise and maintain your health. But what good is all of this if your soul remains lost? These things can be taken from you at any moment. Jesus said, "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul?" Is this what life is all about? To acquire property, to belong to a group of people, to maintain our health for as long as we can? What good is all of this that is fleeting? Here one moment and gone the next, while our souls remain in jeopardy. But the gospel deals with the very soul of man. This raises the question, what is man? What is the purpose of life? Two things that all human life have in common, and that is that we were once born and we will one day die. And we continue to ask the question then, well then, what is death? Why do people die? Is there anything after death? This is the profoundness of the gospel. It deals with the matter of life and with the matter of death, as it deals with the very soul of man. This is why there is an urgency in the gospel. This is why we should continue to preach it. This is why we should continue to listen to it. The ultimate subject matter of the gospel is that it deals with eternity. Heaven and hell. Everlasting life and everlasting damnation. Speaks of fellowship with God through Jesus, or complete separation from God. It is sad that this postmodern society sees no relevance to this gospel. They say life is what you make it out to be. You make the choices of how you live it. But then we can ask them, how much of your life goes exactly the way you want it to go? Did you decide upon all those heartaches, those difficulties and those struggles in your life? Are you happy with your life? I ask you, how happy is this world today? The number of suicides are increasing. Crime is on the rise. Addiction is everywhere. Medicine can't keep up with the diseases that are cropping up. This is an unhappy world. Misery and failure. We see teenagers openly angry with the state of this world. They're angry with their parents and past generations because of what they've done to this world. We hear of young couples deciding not to have children because of the fear of bringing them up in this miserable society. This is the problem of life. The richest man on earth still experiences the misery of this world. But this is why the gospel is of great importance. This is why the church desires that all would turn to the gospel and listen to it. The life that the gospel of Jesus offers, none can snatch it away. It is a sure thing. It is upheld by God Himself. There is a joy unspeakable to all who in Christ have life. What did Jesus say of humanity when He observed them? In chapter 6 of this Gospel of Mark, it tells us that when Jesus saw the great multitude, He was moved with compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. In their miserable and unhappy state, Christ was moved with compassion for them. Humanity without Christ are left to the mercy of ravenous wolves, making life all the more miserable and all the more unhappy. And so as Christ himself sees the misery of the people of this world, he proclaims this about himself. He says that the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. So this is why we're here. This is why we have to preach the gospel and nothing less. It's the most urgent truth to listen to. The gospel deals with the greatest problem of humanity, sin and death. In a world of misery and restlessness, the gospel of Jesus transforms the most miserable and wretched soul. It brings that soul to know peace with God, and it brings that soul to live gloriously and triumphantly. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, what other reason do we have to listen to the gospel? Why else is the gospel relevant to us? Well, look at the way it is put here. The beginning of the gospel. The beginning, what does this suggest? It tells us that the gospel is something that has happened. It is not an idea that has been passed down generations. It is not a legend or a fable. It is not a suggestion to an idealistic life. No, the gospel is something that has happened. It is something that is written in history. Why is the historicity of the gospel worth mentioning? Well, history is something that is inescapable. The way we are now is vastly shaped by history. History links the present with the past. And so given that the gospel is a historical occurrence, there's a strong foundation for the credibility of the gospel and its importance. The gospel is not a religion or an ideology. What does that mean? World religions and ideologies are based on man's thinking and ideas. But the gospel is not so. It is not the story from the mind of an author. The gospel is something that happened. Ideologies can be refuted and challenged. They can be changed for better or for worse. But that is not the case with the gospel of Jesus. The gospel is written in the pages of history. Therefore, it cannot be refuted as lies. And certainly cannot be changed. But one may say, how is the gospel history? How is it something that happened? Isn't the gospel the Christian belief about life? Isn't it an idea in which you have to put faith in? Isn't it just a way of life amongst many other religious ways of life? So one would ask, how is the gospel historical? The gospel is historical because it is about the life and the death and the resurrection of the person called Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Isn't this how Mark put it? The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is historical. History cannot deny the man, Jesus Christ. And so, just as history is relevant to the condition of human living today, the historicity of the gospel is another reason for the relevance of the gospel in today's society. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus is whom the gospel is all about. You see, the gospel is solely based on the life of Jesus, who he is, what he did, and what he continues to do. World religions and ideologies are based on the ideas and philosophies of their founders. They are based on the teachings of their disciples, but not so with the gospel. Apart from Jesus, there is no gospel. There is no good news. Unfortunately, the world equates Christianity with all other religions. The world teaches that Christianity is based on the ideas and teachings of their founders, Jesus, Peter, and the Apostle Paul. They say that Christianity is a way of life lived out and taught by a man called Jesus, who Christians revere as God. But that is a complete misrepresentation of the gospel. Sadly, that is how the world defines Christianity, just another religion. But this is how the Apostle Paul described the gospel which he preached. In 1 Corinthians 15, he says, "For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." This is the gospel that Paul preached. This is the gospel that Mark writes about. This is the gospel that all the apostles preached, and all the early church went out and spread. This is the gospel that the church today stands for. The gospel is not a way of life. What good will it do to just live a life as taught by Jesus? What good would it do to the sinful nature of humanity to live a selfless life filled with good deeds? That is the way of life that almost every religion teaches. In fact, even the hardest atheist teaches that is how we are to live. We are to be selfless. We are to help one another. We are to do good deeds. The atheists teach that. Do you know how many atheists are humanitarians and philanthropists? Selflessness and good deeds do nothing for the soul of man. It does not change the heart of man. It does not transform the sinful nature of man. Sinlessness and good deeds do not give life to the dead. But the gospel does. Because the gospel is all about life. It is all about the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The gospel is about dying to sin and being made alive in Christ. This is how the gospel is life to them who believe. This is how the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It gives life to dead souls. The man Christ Jesus came into this world to live a perfect, sinless life. For what purpose? So that by his life, all our sins, all our transgressions, all our iniquities, and all our inadequacies would be laid on him. In the 10th chapter of this gospel, the Lord Jesus said this about himself. He said, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." Does the gospel sound like a way of life to you? No. It is about a life, a perfect life, given to suffering and death on the cross for the salvation of many. Let me read to you the gospel according to Isaiah chapter 53. Speaking of Christ, it says, "He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was smitten by God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, for he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken, and they made his grave with the wicked. He had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. That is the gospel of Christ coming into this world, living a life of suffering. He came to serve for the remission of sins. Does the gospel sound like a philosophy or an ideology to you? The beginning of the gospel of Christ, the Son of God. The Son of God, this is the power of the gospel. The man Jesus is the Son of God. God himself come down to man through a virgin birth. This is how, by his life and by his death and by his resurrection, sinful humanity are given life and the fullness of it. Who else or what else could raise the dead? But the power of God. Is this not good news? Most wonderful news. By God's grace, rebellious people, rejecters of God, sinners, are justified through faith in the gospel. This gospel we preach. We preach Christ crucified. We preach Christ risen. Jesus said, in the 15th verse of this chapter, he said, repent and believe the gospel. This is the relevance of the gospel today. Jesus said, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. We are all sinners by nature. The Bible teaches that the wages of sin is death. Therefore, repent of your sins. Because in so doing, we find forgiveness for all our sins in Christ Jesus, the Son of God. Yes, Jesus has power and the authority to forgive sins. And we can learn about that in the second chapter of Mark. Jesus has the power and authority to forgive our sins. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Does the gospel compel you? Come. Jesus said, come, follow me. Count the cost. To follow Christ means losing much. But it also means gaining so much more. It is life to them who believe. So this morning, as an introduction to the gospel according to Mark, we only looked at the first verse. But in it, we considered the importance and relevance of the gospel today. Many deny it. Many have rejected it. But I urge you to listen to the gospel. I urge you to listen to the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and believe it. The gospel deals with humanity's greatest need. It is profound in dealing with the matter of the soul and of life and of death. And if you have already heeded the gospel, I urge you to spread it abroad. Take it to work. Take it to your neighbors. Take it to your families. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's why we want to preach the gospel, to see a world saved. Let us not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Amen.